Morning. Are you happy? Good. Couple of things that I just kind of updates on some people and things that are going on for you to be aware of. James and Gwen Britt and Derek and Lene, their family are down in South Carolina. James's brother passed away earlier this past week, and so they're down there for a funeral. Warren and Flossie are down in South Carolina, actually not very far from where James and them are at. And they had is it Flossie's aunt that passed away? So they're down there for a funeral for them. And so please keep them in your prayers, because I believe that all of them are going to be coming back today, traveling back. Is that there? Flossie and your mom and dad are coming back? Okay, tomorrow. So please keep them in your prayers. Rick C. was involved in a car accident yesterday. Very serious car accident. He's okay. Doesn't have any bones broken, but he did injure his arm. He's got to go to an orthopedic doctor to find out, you know, what's actually going on there with him. Older gentleman driving a vehicle ran through a stop sign, just didn't even slow down and hit him. Fortunately, it was kind of up on the front quarter panel of the vehicle, and so not too terribly bad in that regard. But please keep Rick in your prayers. He's right now very sore, so just please keep him in your prayers and thank the Lord for that, because literally if he'd have been about a second to 2 seconds faster than where he was, in other words, forward, then it would have been a side collision right in his door. And at 50 miles an hour, he probably would not have survived that. So the Lord was looking out for that. Rick's take on that, by the way, and I just want you to understand, we give the Lord blessings. The older gentleman that was driving did not even realize there was a stop sign there, didn't realize anything. He thought, his wife said, you know, he didn't even see the traffic light. He just totally didn't know what was going on. If he would have continued straight across that road, it would have been into a driveway and across a field and into a pond. There's an older man and his wife in the car. In the back seat, we found out this morning that in the back of the van were two people, older people, each in wheelchairs. They're invalids. And if they had gone into that pond, then probably none of them would have survived. And so it's quite possible, and as Rick is praising the Lord, and he says, you know, the Lord put me right there at that instant to send that vehicle off in a different direction to keep it from going into that pond. And it's, you know, you never know what the Lord's going to do. But he said, I'm sore, but if the Lord wants to use me that way, then that's okay. So what a great spirit that he has. And so please keep Rick in your prayers for that. We have been, and you know, that's kind of one of those things that fits into the category we're talking about today, is facing tragedies. You know, we've been focusing on and studying just the whole concept of experiencing God in relationship. And as we go through life and we deal with life and we rely on God and we learn through those experiences how God is taking care of us and how He's guiding us and how God is working around us. And part of the idea is that what we're doing is we're growing in a relationship with God by getting to know Him by those experiences or through those experiences, rather than just simply knowing about God by reading about Him in the Bible, you see. And so we've talked about a lot of different aspects of experiencing God in a lot of different ways, and most recently what we're doing is, this is actually the third lesson in a four-lesson series on this, talking about looking at our experiences with God through some of the emotions that we experience in life and the situations. We talked about experiencing God through our joys and also through our sorrows. Well, today we're going to talk about experiencing God through our tragedies. Now, last week as we talked about experiencing God through sorrow, you know, the focus of that, as I told you, was I'm kind of was looking at that from the standpoint of that one of the events that where we face some of the deepest sorrow in our lives is when we're faced with the death of a loved one, and so we experience that sorrow, and we talked about how God is helping us and to deal with the sorrow and giving us the strength we need. Well, today we're going to talk about tragedy, and though they are somewhat related, sorrows and tragedy, and when we're facing tragedies, we can get sorrowful at that, but it's a little bit different situation, and let me explain it to you by referring to the text that we read as we began this morning. You go back over to John chapter 18, and you look at the situation that is taking place, okay? Jesus is there in the garden of Gethsemane with his disciples, and Judas, the traitor, comes, and Jesus is getting ready to be handed over to the soldiers that are there that come to arrest him. But look at what's taking place in the minds and the hearts of the disciples, okay? As these soldiers and Judas come to arrest Jesus, okay, Peter takes out his sword and he cuts off the ear of Malchus, who is the servant of the high priest. And now let's for just a moment, so that we understand this tragedy for what it really is, go back and try to put yourself into the mindset of these disciples. Okay? As far as they were concerned, Jesus was the Messiah. And to them, that meant he was going to come to there, and he was going to set up his kingdom. He was going to sit on David's throne, literally, and he was going to get rid of the Romans and clear out the Roman oppression, and they would be a free nation, prosperous like they were in the days of David. But now Jesus is being arrested. And so the natural thing to do, if you're going to defend your king, is to take out a sword and start fighting, right? Go back and read what Jesus says. Verse 11, put your sword away. Shall I not drink the cup the Father has given me? Do you understand what's just taken place here? You say, you understand what's going on? The world of the disciples has just been turned upside down. Everything that they were expecting to happen in their thinking, though it was wrong, they had a physical concept and expectation of the kingdom, and of course we know Jesus was talking spiritual, but that doesn't really matter at this point for our discussion. It's what they were expecting, and that didn't happen. Their whole world came crashing down around them. They have just invested the last 3.5 years of their lives in following the Messiah. And all of their hopes at that moment in their world have been dashed. They've been crushed. Jesus says, put away your sword. You see, they're looking for that earthly kingdom, and it's not going to happen. How do we know that? Well, you know, it's interesting, because even when Jesus, after he rose from the grave, and Jesus is getting ready to ascend back to heaven, they still asked him, look over in Acts chapter 1 and verse 6, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? They're still looking for that earthly kingdom, but it's not happening. And Jesus is going to be arrested. He's going to be tried, and he's going to be crucified. Their world is coming apart at the seams. They're filled with fear and uncertainty because they don't know what's going to happen next. What's going to happen to them? If the leader of the group has been arrested, what's going to happen to the followers? So they all ran. They all ran. We'll come back and talk about that part in just a moment. But they fled, you see. You see, here's what I want you to focus on this morning for our discussion, is to realize, you know, sometimes in life, our world gets turned upside down, doesn't it? sometimes all of the things that we were expecting, all of the best laid plans of mice and men, you see, all of the things that we put together and we've got it all worked out and this is going to happen, 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 and then all of a sudden, none of it happens. It all falls apart. Any of y'all ever experienced that in life? Yeah. Yeah. It happens often, doesn't it, to us? Okay. And our world feels like it's coming up apart. It feels like it's coming apart at the seams. What are we going to do? That kind of a circumstance or situation is what I'm talking about this morning in using the concept of a tragedy in life. And they happen, don't they? Okay. We experience those kinds of things in our lives. Now, we also have to, let's just be honest right here at the very beginning of all this. We also have to understand that sometimes the tragedies that we face in life are a result of our own doing. Aren't they? I mean, yeah, I know I have to admit that. Sometimes the stuff that I've gotten into in life, it's because, you know, I did it. And I can't blame it on someone else, you see. It's my own doing. But it's a tragedy nonetheless, you see. It's, you know, there's things that, as the phrase is used, that rock our world so much that we realize and know that from that point on, things aren't going to be the same anymore. And we talked about this back several weeks ago, you know, when we were talking about crisis. You all remember that? You know, that what it says is that since this happened, life's not going to be the same. I'm going to have to adjust. I'm going to have to make some changes in life. And those things aren't always easy to do. But that's what we face in this life. Look over in Luke chapter 22, and we begin to see and focus on how do we deal with this stuff. How do we experience God through these tragedies? How do we experience God and grow in our relationship with Him, you know, through the tragedies and the stuff that happens that are turning our world upside down when our world is crashing all around us? And I'm not talking about, you know, weeks or whatever afterwards. I'm talking about when it's actually happening. Okay? When the glass is still breaking, so to speak. Okay? How do we deal with it, and how does God help us to deal with our tragedies at that moment? Well, there's one, I believe, very, very special way that God helps us in those times. And we find a great example of that in Luke chapter 22. You know, Jesus had, before His world started coming down around Him, before the incident with the sword in the garden, Jesus warned Simon Peter. You see? At Peter's declaration that though everyone else will leave you, I will never leave you, Jesus said, "Is that so, Peter? I tell you, before the rooster crows three times, you will disown me." You see? Three times. Yeah. Peter said, and now Peter finds himself in the midst of his tragedy where his world is turned upside down, and Jesus has said, "Put away your sword." You know, I don't know about you, but when I read these kinds of things in the Bible, I'm reading these events as they're unfolding. You know, I like to kind of imagine and picture that scene as it's unfolding and what's taking place. I think sometimes as we read through these things, it's real. We sanitize them. You see, and what I mean by that is we just read the words that it's saying there and we go, okay, yeah, I understand that's what happened. But then when we do that, we kind of miss, I think, some of the emotion and some of the things that are going on with people. And I can just see at that point when Peter is standing there and Jesus said, "Put away your sword," and you know what happened next, don't you? Jesus reached down and He picked up Malchus's ear and He put it back on. He healed him. I can just imagine that Peter is standing there, and he may have his sword kind of halfway back in its sheath, and he's probably standing there with all this confusion on his mind and his heart, and trying to figure out what's going on. But Lord, he's your enemy. Why did you just heal him? He's coming to arrest you. Why? I don't understand what you're doing. Lord, are you serious? Put my sword away. Don't you understand? Are you too blind to be able to see what's happening here and what these people are coming to do? Lord, why can't I take out my sword? See, I think those are some of the emotions that were going on in the midst of this situation. And that was Peter's tragedy as it's coming down around him, as it's crashing down around his world is falling apart. That those are some of the things that probably he was thinking and feeling. So he follows the crowd. And he's had opportunity three times to stand up for the Lord. And instead of doing that, he three times denies that he even knows who Jesus is, cursing and swearing as he's doing so. And this is where the really good part comes in, okay? This is the really good part. Look at what it says here in Luke, verse 60. Peter replied, "Man, I don't know what you're talking about." Just as he was speaking, the rooster crowed. Look at verse 61. Here is the experience that Peter had with God. At that moment, as his world is falling down around him, look at what it says here. The Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word the Lord had spoken to him. Before the rooster crows today, you will disown me three times. He went out and he wept bitterly. Can you just try to place yourself in that scene and try to see what was going on as Peter expressed those words of denial and then the rooster crowed and Jesus turned and looked straight at Peter? You see, here's the thing that we have to keep in mind. You know, I'm convinced of this. When Jesus was looking at Peter, it was not a look of, "I told you so." It was not a look of going, "Ha, see, you declared your loyalty, but look at how quickly you forgot." No. I'm convinced with all my heart that it was a look of encouragement. It was a look of restoration. It was a look of care. And it was a look of love. That Jesus looking at Peter was to reassure him that, "Yes, Peter, even though you did what I told you were going to do and what you denied you were going to do, I still acknowledge you. I still love you." That is what Peter needed more than anything else at that very moment. As his world is crashing down around him, as he's facing that tragedy, he needed to look into the eyes of Jesus. He needed for Jesus to look at him and to see him even in his failure. And he got strength from that. See? When it says there that he went out and he wept bitterly, I'm convinced that in that weeping there was some repentance. See, I've said this before. I don't think that Peter, for the rest of his life, ever forgot that look from Jesus that day. And you think about it, for 3.5 years Peter had been with Jesus, and I'm sure that during that time there had been many times when Jesus and Peter made eye contact, you see, and that they had looked back and forth at one another. But none of those other looks were as powerful as this look. none had the effect on Peter like this look did. In the midst of his tragedy, Peter needed that look from Jesus to remind him, not of the failure that he had, but to remind him of Jesus' love. Okay? And so one of the things that we need to keep in mind is that as we are in the midst of our tragedies that we face, when our world is falling down around us, we need to remember the look of Jesus. And that even if it's a tragedy that is brought on by our own choosing, by our own fault, Jesus never takes His love away from us, does He? And that look is what can help us to not only repent, if that's what we need to, but it can encourage us and embolden us, just like it did with Peter. See? And God knows that in those kinds of circumstances, that's exactly what we need, and He will give it to us. Okay. Well, okay, we look at that, and then we go, okay, so where do we go from there then? We get the look, and we get that encouragement from Jesus, knowing that He's looking at us, that He's watching us, and He loves us, okay? But there's one other important aspect of experiencing God through the tragedies that we've got to focus in on, okay? And that we find over in John chapter 16, and that has to do with the heart. You'll turn over there in your Bible. John chapter 16, now what's happening here is, again, see, I don't know if you notice this or not, but we're kind of going back in time a little bit here. This is as Jesus is preparing His disciples for what's getting ready to happen. Okay? He's getting them ready for the events that we've already been looking at, the event in the garden and the events of the cross, you see? And notice some of the things that Jesus says to them. John chapter 16, look in verse 16, first of all. Jesus says, "In a little while you will see me no more. And then after a little while you will see me." Well, the disciples, after hearing Jesus say that, were somewhat confused. Okay? They did not understand what He was really trying to tell them. And they begin to discuss this, you know. Oh, what's He mean by that? Is He going somewhere? What's happening here? Okay. And so Jesus has to explain it to them. Now, there's a question here. You know, when Jesus makes a statement, "In a little while you will no longer see me, then you'll see me again," is He talking about this time between from the time He's arrested to the time that He is raised up again? Or is He talking about the time from when He ascends back to heaven to the time that He comes back again in the second coming? Scholars are kind of debate that kind of stuff a lot. I think that the immediate context of it is His death, burial, and resurrection. But I also suggest to you that it certainly has application to the other. And we're going to talk about that more in just a moment too. Okay? So Jesus is explaining to them the meaning of all this, to try to clear up this confusion for them. Look in verse 19. Jesus saw that they wanted to ask Him about this, so He said to them, "Are you asking one another what I meant when I said, 'In a little while you will see me no more, and then after a little while you will see me'? I tell you the truth, you will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. You will grieve, but your grief will turn to joy." You see, you're going to be, in a little while, you're going to be weeping. You're going to be struggling. And basically, we can say, you know, there's a tragedy getting ready to strike you, okay? And while that's happening, the world is going to be rejoicing. But you're going to be in grief. What's that sound like to you? Sounds like the death, burial, and resurrection, doesn't it? You see? Jesus is trying to get them ready. Look in verse 31. Jesus said to them, verse 32, "A time is coming and has come when you will be scattered, each to his own home. You will leave me all alone, yet I am not alone, for my Father is with me." I told you we'd come back to this, didn't I? You see, the fact that they all ran. In Matthew's gospel account, Matthew 26 and verse 56, he says, "Then all," this is when Jesus was arrested, "then all the disciples deserted him and fled." So as this tragedy is unfolding, the disciples all run. And they leave Jesus alone. And here we find Jesus preparing them for this tragedy that's getting ready to come upon them. And look at what he says in verse 33. Okay? "I have told you these things so that in me you will have peace." So that in me you will have peace. You mean in the midst of tragedy? In a time when my world is coming apart, I can have peace? You see, that's the context that he's talking about here. He is telling them, he's preparing them for what's going to happen, for this moment when their world is going to come crashing down around them. And he says, the reason I'm telling you this now is so that when it happens, you're going to be able to have peace. Peace in the midst of a crumbling world. Peace in the midst of a tragedy where everything is turned upside down. That's what Jesus is telling them. When this happens, I'm telling you ahead of time so that when it happens, you're going to be able to have peace. And then he says to them, you need to be ready because in this world, you are going to have trouble. But take heart, for I have overcome the world. Yeah. You see, here's the message. Here's what we've got to understand. Jesus knows what's going on before it's going to happen. He knows what's going to happen in your world as it comes crashing down around you. He knows all about the tragedy that you are going to face, whatever it is and wherever it comes. He already knows. And what He wants you to know is, before any tragedy strikes, He wants you to know that in Him, in the midst of that tragedy, whatever it is, you can find peace. Yeah. You can find peace. And the reason you can is that no matter what this world delivers, no matter what trouble comes in this world, He has overcome the world. You see, there is nothing greater than our God. You see? You believe that. There's nothing greater than our God. There is no tragedy. There is no struggle. There is no issue. There is no crumbling all around us that our God cannot handle and cannot see us through to the other side. And what He wants us to know and what He wants us to experience, that when I say know, to know it by experience, is so that when we are in the midst of tragedy, whatever that is, that God says, peace be with you. I'm here to give you peace in the midst of that tragedy. And we can experience that peace. Say, we can experience it because we know that our God is greater than any tragedy that we're going to face in this lifetime. I don't know about you, but that gives me a tremendous amount of comfort. Because I can know that as I'm standing there with my sword in hand, ready to do what I think is the right thing to do and the best thing to do at the moment, but my world comes crashing down around me, that I can know God is going to work it out. God is going to take care of the situation one way or another. He's going to deal with it. He's going to make it work for my best interest, as we've been talking about, you know, all along, that God is working on our behalf. You see? But mostly he's going to work it out for his glory. Okay? And it's kind of just like Rick, you know, like he said. If God, you know, he's talking about these people and they're going to go off into this pond, you know, and he told me, he said, you know, if God wants to use me this way, he said, it hurts, but if that's what God wants to use me for, then that's okay with me. And, you know, I think that's the attitude to have, even in the midst of tragedy, that, you know, it may hurt at the time, but if God wants to use me in that way, then so be it. Because God is bigger and more powerful than any tragedy we can face in our life. And so those are some thoughts for you concerning this whole idea of experiencing God in the midst of tragedies in our lives. It helps us to grow closer to Him and to learn to rely on Him even more. See, that God will give us what we need. Now, in this room this morning, you know, we may have somebody here that's going through some kind of personal tragedy in your life, something that where your world is kind of topsy-turvy, and hopefully the things that I've shared with you this morning will help you to realize that God is there in the ways that He is there to help you to deal with that tragedy so you will be stronger having gone through it. If we can help you with that in any way, then all you got to do is let us know. Because that's what family does, you see. We help one another through those tragedies in life. Okay? There's someone here this morning who's not yet a Christian, that you're ready to give your life to Christ. You can do that right now this morning. You believe that Jesus is the Son of God and you're ready to make Him Lord of your life and call upon Him as such. Repent of your sins that are separating you from God and have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism. You can do that right now. All you got to do is come up and let me know that that's what you're ready to do. Ted will be in the back to receive anyone that would like to just have a private prayer or just talk with him privately back there. And I'll be up here to receive you. And if we can serve you in any way, and all you got to do is come up and let me know. Let's stand together and sing. Wes?